everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. And it looks like I've been abandoned by my co-hosts. David had something to do today, and I believe Sabina is working, but I think I can handle this by myself. I'm waiting for our guests to call in, though, and I'm hoping that they do that shortly. In the meantime, just to let you know, I do have a show tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, with a blues singer, and her name is Peach. So if you'd like to join us at that time, we'll be interviewing her, and I'll have Mike Lidskin, my special co-host for that day, and also be playing some of her music. If you're into blues music, you should enjoy this. Follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio, and check out my website at take2radio.com for any updates on guests coming. Previous podcasts, you can listen to them there. I have all my Children in One Life to Live episodes on it. There's, you know, quite a few different things. And follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you an email each and every time we have a guest scheduled so you don't miss a show. And you can listen for free on Stitcher, which is a mobile app, and also on iTunes. And I do think that I have one of my guests, so let me check this real quick. One moment, please. Okay, maybe not. Whoever it was didn't answer me. I think they maybe just called to listen in, and I spooked them when I picked up the phone and said hello as they hung up. Well, I'm sorry about that. You can call in again and listen. I just I don't know the area codes that my guests will be calling in from. I hope everybody's having a good day today. And here in Chicago, it's probably around 80 degrees, and it's sunny, and it's an absolutely beautiful day. We've been having some amazing weather, considering that this is July, and we're usually, you know, high 90s, and the humidity is so bad that you can't even stand it. But it's been very pleasant, 70s and low 80s and very low humidity. And that's when it's not raining, because we've had a lot of rain, and I know that's going on in a lot of places between the Midwest and the East Coast. Okay, let me try this again. I think we do have one of the guests. One moment, please. Okay. So we do have our guest today, and as most of you know who it is, but I'll go ahead and tell those listeners that don't know, we welcome multi-award-winning actress and director Kimberly McAuliffe and actress and screenwriter Stephanie Sanditz. So welcome, girls.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me today.
We're so happy to be here.
How are things going for you girls today?
Great. Well, last night I had a really fun live tweeting session that was really cool that I had a lot of fun with. And today, we're looking forward to getting the word out there and telling more people about our film.
Yeah, I saw that last night, and I mean, you did a lot of tweeting and a lot of people responded and for your project, and we'll get into that in a moment, but I saw that you made it up over like $15,000, so that's wonderful.
Yes, we're so excited. That was my personal goal for last night, and we met it, which was so great, and it was so cool that everyone participated and had fun with me in sweatpants.
And get your heart on. I thought that was pretty cute.
Yeah.
Little play on words there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, we were just laughing with you.
Oh,
we want
okay.
Everyone to be on.
Well, Kimberly, of course, most people know you as Robin Scorpio Drake on General Hospital for over 25 years. How would you describe being on GH for that long? What are your favorite memories of it?
Well, being on GH my entire life was kind of like Robin was my, or is, my alter ego. And, well, I would say the greatest thing about it was all the relationships that I formed and how I'm still, you know, really close with Fionnuala Hughes and Jason Thompson and Ian Buchanan, and I could go on forever, but of all the wonderful people that I've met and have been my teachers since I was very young, and also being a part of a show that now has reached its 50th anniversary, which is absolutely insane and awesome. And,
right.
Yeah, so that was really cool. But yeah, I mean, it's basically been my, you know, my life, or a huge part of my life. And I'm just so grateful for all of, you know, all of it, the behind the scenes and, you know, all of the storylines that I've got to participate in over the years.
Is there a certain storyline that stands out to you that would be, you know, that made a huge impression on you either as a child or as an adult?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's different storylines that were my favorite for different reasons. I love the story where Grant Putnam, he kidnapped Anna Devane because I got to play catatonic when he, well, I can't remember if it was him. But yeah, I think it was him that ended up killing our nanny, I guess. It wasn't really a
mm-hmm.
nanny, but,
yeah.
But I got to lay in bed for literally 3 months and not speak, and I didn't have to learn my lines, so I could really focus on my focus. And so that was cool. I mean, I literally stared at a spot on the wall and got paid.
Yeah.
That was my favorite for that reason. But also I love, of course, the HIV story because I felt like, you know, there's very few times when, you know, your art or your, you know, job kind of bleeds over into doing something good for people.
Right.
And that was a really kind of gift that was given to me. And I really felt like I learned a lot and grew a lot as a person and as an actor. And, you know, to this day, people still say that they watched those scenes where Stone died and they're moved. So that was a really cool part of, you know, my life. And I think also of the General Hospital canvas, because it was an example of, you know, taking something and treating it with a lot of respect and integrity, and still people were, you know, entertained and watched.
Right. Well, how could you not be entertained with that nurse's ball? I mean, that's something we look forward to every single year for many reasons, you know, and they brought it back this year. What did you think of this year's?
I did see the whole thing. I saw it all in one sitting, though, because I was shadowing somewhere. I can't remember where, but the night I got home, I watched the entire thing till, I think, 3 in the morning. But what is his name? Oh, Richard Simmons was absolutely hysterical.
I know.
He is a hot mess and a half.
Yeah.
And I love my. I think my favorite was Jane Elliott when they were backup dancing and had those like mm-hmm. really cool, fancy hippie shawl kind of thing.
Right. Mhm.
That was hysterical. But yeah, the only thing I didn't like about the nurse's ball was my giant photo on the stage. That was just really uncomfortable for the new girl that was trying to, you know, get on my husband. But Amelia was literally looking over her shoulder while she was holding my kid. That was a little overkill, I thought.
Well, I mean, you're bigger than life, so I guess the photo was appropriate.
Yeah. I'm watching you, Serena.
Yeah, right. I did have a question from one of our listeners from Twitter. Her name is Sherry Calvert, and she would like to know your thoughts on Sabrina being with Patrick and Emma.
Well, it's, you know, these are trick questions, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
They ask these things, and I'm like, are they asking me how I feel, or are they asking Robin how she feels? You know, the way that I personally feel about it is I think, you know, Jason is he's a really good actor, and he's a sexy dude, and it would be kind of unproductive to not have him with somebody on the show. So, you know, he has to have a love interest. And I do think it's a good choice as far as, you know, forming a family unit and how much she cares for Emma and all of that.
Right.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, it's just hard to say, you know, because, of course, like, I would want to say, you know, Robin and Patrick should be together forever, but well, Robin is being held captive right now.
I know.
It's so hard to be with your husband when you're, you know, shackled to a bed. Well,
yeah.
Maybe not.
That's so true.
Sorry.
Well, you were the youngest actress at the time when you won your first Emmy. Did you realize the importance of winning it?
No. No.
Yeah.
I just remember, well, I'll tell you a quick story. That was, I think, the first or second time that I went to New York. It may have just been the second. It was, but for all intents and purposes, it was the first time that I was really in New York. And we had a plane delay and our car, like there was, you know, I had to have people come pick you up at the airport. That person wasn't there. And basically we didn't get in until 3 a.m. the night before. And because of that, they had already given our room away when we were staying at the Waldorf Astoria. So it was just one of those like crazy days. And we, of course, because my mother, her name is Susan, but we call her the Susanator. She gets stuff done. Of course, she has to talk to the manager at 3 a.m, and they called the manager and woke him up, and because we didn't have a place to stay. And anyway, they ended up giving us a suite for free, basically.
Uh-huh.
And we were literally staying in this two-bedroom apartment at the top of the Waldorf Astoria, me, my mom, and my best friend and her mom. And that was kind of insane. So that was just, you know, as a little girl being 10 years old, all I remember is running around this I felt like I was like Annie in, you know, Mr. Warbucks. Running around, you know, the apartment. And then I also remember being nominated against Anne Heche and thinking there was no chance in hell that I was going to win. So
right.
It was all kind of, you know, a blur.
That's funny. But you know what? You did it. You earned it. And I'm so happy that you received it, as well as, you know, other awards and another Daytime Emmy, of course. And we look forward to when you stop by GH one of these days again. I know you're so very busy with everything that you have going on. I did have a question from my co-host, David, who unfortunately had a prior commitment today and couldn't be here. He said, from the age of 7, your life as we know it took off in amazing directions. What are the 3 elements that have kept you grounded as a person throughout your career?
The 3 elements. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I would say number 1 would be my friend. And number 2 would be my hobbies, things that keep me sane and happy, like dancing
mm-hmm.
and surfing and boxing. And 3rd, I would say just becoming a filmmaker and being really humbled by the fact that it's really hard and that, you know, I've always just wanted to learn more about it, you know, ever since I was really little. And I think that's why I love being a filmmaker, because you can never master it. It's something that you can always get better at. Yeah, I would say those three things. You know, my friends, first of all, because I went to, you know, quote, regular school. Sorry, someone's calling me. Hold on.
That's okay.
I went to regular school with kids who were not in the business, and so they, you know, they were not really impressed and kind of kept me grounded in that sense, you know. And and then, yeah, I would say, you know, God, surfing is, like, so humbling. It's another thing that's really, really hard, and it's, like, the great equalizer, you know. Like, I surf in Venice Beach, and there are a lot of celebrities and people that you would know just, I guess, by, you know, seeing their face or whatever, but it doesn't matter when you're out in the water. Everyone's going for the same waves, you know, and it's like,
right.
You know, it's just kind of like, it's one of those things where it doesn't really matter who you are. Like, if you cut someone off, like, you know, you're a jerk. Like, you know?
Right.
It doesn't... Yeah, nobody's going to be like, oh, no, that's cool, man. You cut me off right on. Oh, you're awesome. I just saw you on You know, nobody cares.
Right.
Okay, did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. Well, Stephanie, you're an actress as well as a screenwriter. What was your favorite part to play out of anything that you've done?
Oh, wow. That's a trick question. I've done a lot of theater. I got to play, like, kind of amazing, out there kind of roles. You know, one of my biggest moments that started me off, I guess, was I got to play Kate and Leopold, that movie with Liev Schreiber and Meg Ryan way back when.
Right.
And it was terrifying and fun and kind of launched my career. Although my favorite role of all time was playing on this television show on Comedy Central called Strangers with Candy, where I got to play a mechanical bull riding bad girl. Which, you know, that's just one of those, that's the kind of thing that making movies and TV is so fun, because you get to participate in activities that you wouldn't get to do in normal life.
Did you do a lot of practicing before that? I mean, I know those things are really hard to ride.
You know what? I think I was a natural. I did it. I am from Missouri, so, you know.
Okay. So we're tough in the Midwest? Is that what you're saying?
No, it was a challenge to be that on set that day. I also got to do Kimberly's short film that she did in the AFI directing workshop, and she kind of wrote this really fun secondary part to play the best friend of the lead, Danielle Harris. And we got to play these, they were kind of cool roles, which Kimberly always tries to do, like kind of tougher two women that work in special effects makeups in horror movies. And so I got to kind of play the grounded backbone best friend. And Kimberly kind of wrote the part with me in mind, and it was really, really fun to see, like, her different version of me, but still me, and work with Danielle, who, I don't know, horror fans out there know Danielle is a really, really amazing actress and great person. That was fun.
Well, as far as screenwriting goes, do you think it's easier to write a screenplay from a book versus writing a movie from, you know, that's not from a book, that's just coming out of your head?
I don't know about easier, but in a certain sense, there's a little bit of a personal pressure that's off, in the sense that the movie that Kim and I are going to make is, if I have one chance, if I have one chance to tell a story, you know, this is the story that I really feel like is timeless, and I really feel like it's going to affect a lot of people, and there's a lot of pressure on, like, if there's one thing that's 100% my writing, there's more pressure than adapting someone else's book, which is, you know, a beautiful challenge in that I get to bring a part of myself to something that exists that's hopefully already a really great piece of work. But, you know, if it's the, you know, as a disclaimer, I can stand back and say I'm just helping this person's vision. So
there's more, I feel like there's more on the line when it's really just 100% my voice in the text. Mm-hmm.
I can understand that. And I know what you mean as far as bringing somebody else's book to life, because when I read, you know, you picture in your head that it, you know,
yeah,
actually happening. And so it's nice sometimes to see that on screen, as long as a lot of times they stick with what's in the book and not go way off course.
Especially with these books that have big followers, you know, you don't ever want to crush someone's beautiful vision of what these people look like. So, it's tricky, but it's also just the amazing part of film and collaborations. Like, if you really get into how many different kinds of talents and people that go into making a movie happen, it's kind of incredible. And it's one of the things I think so beautiful about the experience of making films. And
yeah, that's really neat. I think that's a great job to have, and I would imagine it's not really a job to you because it's probably something that you love doing. I was very surprised.
When you're in the computer 15 hours a day.
I feel
I wouldn't be doing anything else. It's so incredibly exciting and fun to work in this industry when people actually show up to listen.
Right. Now, one thing I was very surprised to read about you is that you grew up in Missouri, in the town that your new film and yours and Kimberly's film and also Jennifer's film is named after. Now, I am not even going to try to say it because I don't want to mess it up. So could you please say it for me? Creve Coeur.
One of the legend of the town is that when the fur traders kind of were trekking across the west, that the French fur traders kind of came in and took camp into some of the Native Americans' land. And there's this legend, in French it would be Creve Coeur, which is, means broken heart, but it's Missouri, so we say Creve Coeur. The legend has it that there's a lake. And a French fur trader came in and fell in love with a Native American princess, and they weren't allowed to be together because she would be dishonored from her tribe and he would be discharged. So they, like star-crossed lovers, committed suicide and drowned themselves in this lake that, if you look topographically above, looks like a broken heart. And I grew up, there was broken hearts on all the street signs, and, you know, no one could pronounce the name of the town either. No one really, like, one of the things that I found was so amazing was that there's this beautiful romantic story underneath this town in middle America. And, like, I think that's kind of a metaphor of this young girl's journey in the movie of really trying to find beauty that exists in all around us when people kind of lose sight of it or focus on perfection or things on the outside, and that there's really bigger romance that can be found, and she's searching for that. So that's kind of where the broken heart story comes from.
Oh, wow. That's so neat that it's actually based on that, and it's you know, of course, storytelling of any kind is great, but I love to know when there's something that's real also involved with the movie, and it's just me, or, you know, I'm sure other people like to know the history of things.
It's where I grew up, and there's a broken heart lake, and there's broken hearts all over the there's broken hearts all over the police cars and fire station cars, and that was really fun. Kimberly came home to meet my family and see the town. And take some pictures for the video that we have up on our Indiegogo site. That's really fun. You guys should check out. And I got to take her to the Broken Heart Fire Department. And that was really fun. They were excited to meet her.
Didn't pick up any firemen to take with you?
Well, it's hard to not like a hero. Yeah. To be determined. I think most of them probably have wives and daughters that wouldn't be happy with Robin Scorpio.
Yeah, we always like a guy in a uniform, so. But the film is on Indiegogo, and you're raising money to fund the film, and you're calling it a dark comedy. It's already won an award, from what I read, and the film hasn't even been released yet to the public.
It was the Tribeca Film Festival, which is a really great film festival. If you don't know about it, it's started by the Tribeca Institute with Jane Rosenthal and Robert De Niro, has a program called the All Access Program, which is basically they get unproduced scripts and projects and ideas before the festival itself to showcase underrepresented voices in screenwriting. And the script was chosen as, you know, one of the, best new voices of screenwriting for the year. So,
Well, congratulations. I mean, that's a feat in itself, you know, to be able to win an award like that and just basically starting out with this.
Well,
although
so
I don't
great.
Know how long you guys have been working on this.
a while. But we haven't really kind of put our heads together to really produce it or try to raise money for it. We've just been kind of honing our craft separately, and then we really felt like we both had gotten to this point where the time was right and we were capable and ready to really try to produce it ourselves. So,
right. That should draw more interest to you from anybody in the entertainment industry that you're trying to connect with as well to get this movie made or produced.
Sure. Yeah, it's always, legitimizing to get feedback like that.
Yeah. But I think also more than ever, the industry, I talked a little about this, I guess, on Twitter the other day, but that the industry is in a kind of a different state than it's been in the last 10 years because they're really just looking at doing movies that are based on books or sequels, and they're a little bit more nervous to produce original content. So more than ever, it's important for the public and audiences to have their voices heard and say, no, we still want these kinds of movies to be made.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to the movie theaters and you're seeing, X-Men 13 and Wolverine 2 and Grown Ups 2. And I'm a fan of those movies. I'm not saying that I don't like those movies. But as far as, me growing up, the movies that I remember are, Welcome to the Dollhouse and American Beauty and, all these films that kind of, they stay with me forever. They're not just instant gratification, stuff my face with popcorn type movies. They actually taught me something and helped me to grow as a person, as an artist, and not to sound too cheesy, but really movies have meant a lot to me. So the industry, I guess my point is that the industry needs to be reminded that these films need to be made. And that's why crowdfunding is so great, because you get to personally, literally talk to the entertainment. You get to talk to Hollywood with your money and say,
exactly,
what we want.
I don't think Kimberly and I would have tried to raise and produce the money this way if we didn't think that this particular film would be so touching and so timeless to so many different people, because I don't think that I could, in my right mind, go back to my hometown, go back to my friends and my family and Kim's fans who've been growing up for her and not ask them to donate something that wasn't this personal and heartfelt. I wouldn't go and ask my, high school English teacher who wrote me the most beautiful email last night to fund, my version of Iron Man, Iron Lady 7.
Right.
It's been so incredibly beautiful, the people that have come out to support us, and it's just made us, we wouldn't be doing this if we didn't feel like this particular film would be something really special that people could relate to for a long time.
And that says the same thing for us, too, that have donated, that we believe that these types of movies should still be made. Like you said, Kimberly, that's, talking to the industry through you by our donations. So I think that's important for everybody all the way around.
Beautiful that you say that.
Thank you for helping us and get the word out. We really appreciate your support and yeah, and particularly the, you know, some plans are just, they're the best. You know, there's
yeah.
not really a medium in the industry where people will support you no matter what you do, you know. And also, you know, I've got to meet a lot of the fans over the years at events, and so I feel like I have this, you know, extended family and friends. I know so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool as well, to be able to have, you know, a relationship with all of those people.
One thing
oh,
I want
yeah.
to say about, you know, all of the, I met Kimberly, I've known of her, but I met her more as a writer and a director, and one of the reasons why I wanted to work with her was watching her navigate this other life and this soap life and this celebrity with her relentless desire to be studied and earn her place behind the director's chair. And
mm-hmm.
I've gained so much respect for how grounded and how dedicated she's been through this process. And, you know, in one sense, it's a blessing that she has the celebrity and the fan following. But in another sense, it's, you know, everyone knows her as this actress. And it's really wonderful to watch her try to, you know, show people that she can have both sides of the camera, that she's not just a pretty face that can cry
right.
amazingly well.
Thank you.
But I just want all of these people that have been coming out to be able to see just, like, really what a fierce powerhouse she can be. And it's, you know, been an honor to be working this far with her.
If you could see me, I'm blushing right now. I'm like red.
Well, I believe in Kimberly, because only just from watching her, you know, on General Hospital for the 25 years plus, I believe that you can do anything that you set your mind to. And I don't back every single Indiegogo project or every Kickstarter project that there are. I have backed others, but it's only when I believe in whoever's behind it and also what they're writing about and what the film is going to be about. And so this, I believe in you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is it okay if I make a couple of announcements? We have a couple.
Yeah,
of
I was going to ask you. I know that Zach Knighton has joined from Happy Endings in that as Jimmy, the character Jimmy. What else did you want to tell us about that?
Can you tell
or
me
anything
about
else?
Oh, okay. Well, no, they haven't read the script.
Well, the kind of one of the storylines in the script is it's about three generations of love stories, and it's this young girl who's really trying to find love and romance in this time where she just feels kind of disconnected to her family. There's kind of communication problems. Even though everyone loves each other, there's just kind of like, as a lot of families are, they're not really speaking to each other well. And one of her people that she really opens up to is one of the main characters, Jesse, who's kind of from the poorer part of town, the other side of the tracks. And Jesse comes from a big hunting kind of country or family that's, you know, Jimmy's character that Zach will play is really interesting and complex because he's kind of hard drinking, big buck hunting, but at the same time, he's got this sense of like loyalty and family that is, you know, at the same instant where he could like punch someone out and beat and shoot a bull, he would cry about how much like, I love my brother so much, you know. It's really kind of hilarious, fun character that has such a huge heart and believes in family so much and is kind of a foil to Jesse, who's kind of our 90s geeky, awkward film intellect. So it's got this really kind of amazing, which is just kind of a dichotomy that I saw in society and men's relationships growing up, too. It's just these, you know, brawn versus brain and how they both have really positive attributes. So Zach's character would be playing really loyal, really tough, but completely emotional, sensitive, kind of soft-hearted, you know, hunting
yeah.
guy. So it's a really fun character.
He's a loud crier.
Yeah.
And you have some great perks for anyone that to the film. Would you like to tell our listeners what some of them are?
Yes. Well, I also wanted to say that last night was so successful that I'm thinking of doing that again.
Okay.
meaning we'll do another live tweeting session where I will give live shout-outs through Instagram and also personal shout-outs through Twitter at a little bit of a discounted price, because on the site right now it's $10, and when we do our specials, it'll be offered at $5 and $20 instead of $25. So we're going to do another session like that this coming Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we were thinking of other incentives to get people excited about it, about the film. And one of the things that we're going to do is for $500, I'm going to make a personal phone call to anyone of your choice. And the phone call could last, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, depending on however long you want to talk to me, I guess. So that's one of the things that we'll be offering on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday evening. Also, we are putting together a fan event. There are a lot of General Hospital fans that are coming to Los Angeles the weekend of the 25th, I believe. So we are putting together an event with myself and a couple of surprise guests. And if anyone is interested in attending that event, we would ask that they would email creepcorefilm@gmail.com. And then as soon as we have the details put together, we can email you back the times and everything for that particular event.
Wow. That's amazing.
If people are interested, and, you know, we really do need some other bigger donations, and we have some of the perks that we offered are, like, for $5,000, you get a ticket to the premiere of the film where you get to watch it with us, with Robin, with the cast. We're also auctioning off this amazing adult-sized replica of the first dress that Robin Scorpio wore on the show. If you check out our site, you can see that. For $10,000, you also get your name in the credits of the film. You get to name a character of the film after you. You also get a ticket to the premiere where you can come with us, hang out with us at the movies. For $25,000, we're also offering that we will give you a part. If you're a younger person, you'd be one of the main friends of the two leads, female or male leads. And if you are an adult, you could either be Zach Knighton's or mine, the best man or the maid of honor in our wedding scene. So,
oh my gosh.
Anyone's interested in, you know, getting their daughter or their nephew or themselves in being a part of this, helping the film get made, and also getting, you know, really to being involved in the filmmaking industry and this film, please come join us. We want to hang out with you.
Yes. And if I had the money, I would do it in a second flat, mm-hmm. because that would be, you know, like a once-in-a-lifetime thing for somebody to be able to do.
I just wanted to go over those couple of things. Again, email creepcore@gmail.com if you want to learn more about the fan event that will be that weekend, the same weekend of the GH fan event. And Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll be doing another live tweeting session. So also to tell the fans to get their questions ready. And I'll also be singing Happy Birthday if they want me to do that. And then also Tuesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time, Stephanie and I will be doing another interview at Nonproductive Radio. And
what is
next
it?
Sunday.
I'm sorry, what was the name of the other radio show?
Nonproductive Radio.
Okay.
And we'll be talking more about Stephanie's script that she is currently writing and any of the other projects that she's doing, more that fan base. So if anyone is interested in that or has read Beautiful Bastards, or they're also a horror-based
fan site too, so they're interested in, I did this movie called Puppet Master, and Kimberly's working with Danielle Harris, so it's a different fan-based radio show, but they're nice guys.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a huge, you know, horror fan base for sure. Now, as far as the Indiegogo project, you can, for just the listeners, go to Indiegogo.com and /CreveCore, and or you can just type that in and it'll come up if you can't find it. It's also on my website at take2radio.com, so if you don't know how to find it, and everybody always tweets it out too, so.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. We're also, she's on set right now, but we're trying to get, we might have a live Skype or video session with Zach Knighton, a happy hour with Zach. If you want to drink a beer with him, you can call in and donate, and he will Skype you back and open a cold beer with you. So we're trying to get his movie schedule, but if there are any Surfer Dude, Hitcher, Flash Forward, Happy Night, Happy Endings fans out there, there might be an opportunity to have a Budweiser with your friend from TV. I'm all really excited about.
Well, do you have any idea how long, once the film is funded, when it'll be released for us to see?
It's been a year. Yeah, it definitely has been a year. I mean, we'll probably try to, yeah. We'll be quick. A lot of things on us being this $100,000 goal. If we can meet that, we'll get the film made a lot quicker.
Right, right. And they can also follow the movie on Twitter at CreveCore Film. And, of course, Kimberly, you have to have an off-the-wall. And it probably makes sense to you, your Twitter name, at Whitewater Crew, but... You know, a lot of people don't know that's you.
I know. That was who I originally started with, and I just kind of stuck with it.
Are you an avid actor?
Yeah. It's something to ask, but I'm basically making fun of myself that I'm a terrible surfer, that I surf the white water. So anyone that surfs, you know, but anyone else is like, what is that? Yeah. Do you go whitewater rafting? No, I don't. I've never been.
Yeah, that's so funny. And you can also follow Stephanie at S Sanditz, and it's S-A-N-D-I-T-Z, and I hope I'm saying that right. And then Jennifer Glynn, who's also involved with the film, is Glynifer, and it's G-L-Y-N-N-I-F-E-R.
Okay,
well, I know that we only had you for 30 minutes and we're running a little bit over. Was there anything else you wanted to add before I let you go?
No, it's so nice to talk to you.
Just thank you. Thank you for talking with us. And, we just want to say thank you to everyone that's donated, and we really appreciate the support. And we're going to keep going until we meet our goal.
Yes, definitely. I will keep tweeting it out as well and putting it on Facebook and everywhere else that I can to try to help you out. And you girls have a great weekend. Don't work too hard. Have some fun.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye. Wow. It was so wonderful being able to talk to them and finding out more about the film, and of course, you know, a little background on Stephanie for those that may not know her, or even Kimberly, but I find that almost impossible. Then again, not everybody is a soap fan. And so if you can donate anything to help them out, it would be great. You know, of course, if you don't have, you know, $500 or $1,000 or even, you know, $100, whatever, you know, just donate. Every dollar counts. And if you have 100,000 people donate a dollar, there you go. It's funded, and it'll be done and over with, and then we'll have a great movie to be able to watch. And I can't wait to see who else she has playing the different parts. So, again, follow them on Twitter, and don't miss the next Twitter Fest on Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 5 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Eastern time. And then also join them for their other show at 5:30 Pacific time for the non-productive radio show. I'm sure they'll be tweeting that out. And if you'd like to go to the event that they were talking about, you know, email them at CreveCoreFilm@gmail.com. And just so you know, the spelling of that is CreveCoreFilm. And I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Hopefully we'll have Kimberly back in the future to be able to talk more with her. She was limited on her time today, and as everybody knows that she's extremely busy, and I'm sure Stephanie is, and maybe we can even get Jennifer one of these days on the show to talk with her too, because they're all very interesting women and are doing a lot to get females out there known for, you know, as businesswomen, as filmmakers, as writers, as directors, and so on and so forth. And I'm all for that. Yay for us women. And thanks again, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. If you can, join us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for our special guest, Peach. She's a blues singer, and we'll be talking with her with Mike Lidskin. Take care, everybody, and have a good day.